We're called to do what we cannot do. So we're doing what we really cannot do. If you want to live in that place where it's predictable, where you can do it naturally, and then put a Christian label on it, that's really not walking by faith at all. What God calls us to do is bigger than we are. The mantle on your life is bigger than you. The prophet's mantle was an oversized mantle for a reason, because it was something that he needed to stretch into. He needed to grow into. And so it is your calling, your purpose is bigger than you are, and God wants to stretch you into your purpose, into your calling, and fulfill that destiny that he has for you. But this is the key. There has to be a cooperation, amen, with the Holy Spirit. We have to agree with what God says we are to do. Because faith without works is dead. So there needs to be action that accompanies our faith. And what we say we believe, it's not enough just to say, oh, I believe in God. Or I believe God can do that. Or I believe that God did do that. We need to come to the place where we are saying God is doing this today. That he's the same Jesus, amen? He hasn't changed from the very beginning. He's the same God, amen? He's the Alpha and the Omega. So if you want to play it safe and you just want to kind of operate in the place of predictability, you're really not going to accomplish God's will for your life. If you want to maintain a comfortable place of where I'm in control, you're not going to fulfill your destiny. We need to relinquish control to Him. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to the voice of Jesus. When he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that was not a suggestion, that was a command. And then he told them to teach others, amen, that would come after them, to observe everything that I taught you. So, how many would agree with me today that requires action? That requires somebody taking the step out in faith to say, I'm going to open my mouth for you, God, and I'm believing that you're going to fill it with words. Because what you're calling me to do is, I can't do this naturally. Now, there are some people who do preach the gospel, and sometimes from a very natural place. God can still use his word, you know, because his word itself is anointed. However, when we speak a word in season, the word that God is speaking, it is a living word. Are you with me? It is life producing. And we've got to be willing to open our mouth and proclaim God's praises. And you might say, well, I really am not that kind of person to open my mouth and sing out or praise audibly. Well, you show me in the scriptures where it says that praise is done in silence. You don't find it. Praise is something that comes from our heart, amen? But it's launched from this tiny member. And we give praise to God. He gave us a voice. And so we've got to step out of the comfortable zone where we put ourselves in this little bubble, you know, of protection. And I want to be a follower of Jesus, but I want to be a safe follower of Jesus, you know. We'll just huddle down in our little church service and do our little thing. And sometimes people are not even free in the church service. You know, they need deliverance sometimes. And other times it's just a matter of God's just waiting for us to step out in faith and do what's right. He didn't say, praise me if you feel like it. The Bible says, praise the Lord. Amen. Let everything that has breath. That qualifies you and me, right? Praise the Lord. It's important that we come. And God gave us language. He gave us words. In the very beginning, God spoke the word. Amen? Amen. And what he spoke came to pass. It was a creative word. Amen. From the Father. And when we agree in praise, where we begin to speak of the truth of who God is, we praise him for his holiness, for his awesome majesty, and for his goodness. God inhabits that because you're agreeing with what he is saying. And so sometimes we feel like we're dammed up, you know, like I just can't really praise God, or I just can't really pray, or I just can't really. How many ever feel that way before, sometimes? Okay, everybody, right? Some of you just didn't raise your hand. We'll pray for you. But what we need to do is we need to step out of the place that may be comfortable for us. Or we need to do the opposite of how we may be feeling. Oh, so many of us, we're just emotional, you know. So if I'm feeling it, I'll do it. Well, I didn't feel like it, you know. How many have realized by now that your feelings have gotten you in trouble a few times? Because you felt like it. How many have ever discovered that when you did, despite how you felt, what you knew God was saying to do, that God met you in that place? You had an encounter. And I don't feel like talking to people about Jesus. Well, God says to talk to people about Jesus. So I step out and I begin to talk, open my mouth, and I just begin. And that's all you got to do is begin. The hardest part about getting started is getting started. Okay, so what we're called to do is something that really we cannot do. We're called to walk a walk that we cannot walk. We're called to a supernatural life of victory over sin and the devil. We're called to win the lost and destroy the works of the devil. Can anybody here destroy the works of the devil? In Christ, you can. Now, on the other side of that, you have people who say, well, I can do anything if I just try hard enough. The world is good at that, you know, and you see the basketball stars and the celebrities, and they have mastered a craft, and they have done well with that. But there are also probably millions of others who are trying for that same goal and never reached it. And they gave it their best. They poured themselves out into that thing. I remember hearing a young man come to me, and he was an average basketball player. But I think he was thinking a little bit beyond sobriety about his real gift, you know. And so he wants to be one of the professional basketball, you know, players. And it's okay to dream, but we need to dream sensibly within the limits that God has placed upon us. We need to think soberly according to the measure of grace that we receive. So I was counseling him I said, well, can I suggest that while you're pursuing your career in basketball, that you also study something else too? And prepare yourself, have a backup plan. Because there are many people who try and they try and they try and they struggle. And they think, if I just try a little harder, I'm going to achieve this goal. Sometimes that happens. But folks, if it's not in the realm of your capability, your God-given talent or ability, it's just not going to happen. Now, does that sound like an encouraging word today? What we need to find out is, who am I? What does God say about me? Who does he say I am? Not what Hollywood says I should be, or I got to look like that, dress like that, talk and walk like that, and hang out with that. And but what does God have to say about it? What is God saying? I need to hear his voice. I need to listen to his voice. Our victory over Satan is a very present reality. If you are in Christ today, you are more than a conqueror. Because the victor dwells within you by his Spirit. And greater is the victor in you than he who's in the world, the devil. And so you need to know that truth, not intellectually, but in your spirit. You need to know who you are. It comes by revelation. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. He begins to reveal our true identity, not what we've been told by others. Not even sometimes what well-meaning parents have spoken over you and said about you. And dads that thought, I want my boy to be a football star, you know. And he's out there, you know, yelling at him on the field. And he's trying to get him to perform a lot harder. And you loser, you know, and calling him names. And he gets home, he beats him because he failed to live up to dad's expectation of him. How many know that's what the devil does? He's a hard taskmaster. He tries you to do things that you're not even equipped or prepared to do. He puts false burdens on God's people, so God's people get caught up sometimes in things and even in ministries that God has never called them to. And they strive and they struggle and they're stressed out and they're not having any joy in their life because they're trying to make something happen that God said it wasn't going to happen for you. It's not the way. But maybe somebody else came along and told you, well, that's what God wants for your life. Oh, okay. How many Christians have been shipwrecked because somebody prophesied over them and gave them a word from God? And they never got confirmation themselves from the Spirit. And so they ran with that word and now they're like, why is my life a mess? God, why did you do this to me? And he gets blamed for it. Colossians 2:13, and I'm going to read a lot from the New Living Translation today because I just like the way its word is, brings clarity. I know the King James is the version that Paul used, but Colossians 2:13, and by the way, I do love the King James, so don't get mad at me, but I like to also to use other translations as well. Listen to what it says in Colossians 2:13, the New Living Translation. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Cut away. It speaks of a circumcision of the heart, you see. Cutting away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. So the emphasis is not on what you did, but on what he did. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and took it away by nailing it to the cross. What is this saying? It says that we have all disobeyed the law of God. And so judgment was hanging over us because we broke the law. And so Christ fulfilled all righteousness so that those who come to God through Christ may have their sins blotted out. And those things that were written against you based upon your rebellion against God, he took away and he nailed it to the cross. Aren't you glad? Do you believe today that your sins are forgiven? Do you believe that when you confess your sins, that you're really forgiven when you do that? It didn't get that loud that time. Folks, I've been there where I've wondered if God heard me the first time. Have you? Because the accuser of the brethren, the devil, likes to throw that back in your face and remind you of it all the time to keep you in a place of fear and condemnation. Oh, come on, guilt and shame, so that you will, instead of drawing near to God, you'll shrink back away like Adam did to try to hide from God. God didn't really forgive you. God didn't really accept you when you came to Jesus because you're just so nasty. You're so bad. Now, in this way, verse 15, he, Jesus, disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. What is this saying? It's saying that Satan has already been dealt with. The principalities and powers have already been dealt with. If you're in Christ, if you are a believer, the power of sin and Satan has already been broken. Amen. We need to believe what God says about us. Embrace the truth that the Word of God teaches us, that I'm no longer a slave to sin. It shall not have dominion over me. I'm not under the law any longer. I'm in Christ. It's by grace that I have victory. By receiving of the grace of God, not by trying to achieve righteousness, but by receiving righteousness. I open my life, I open my heart as an open book, and I say, Lord, I receive your righteousness. I receive your pardon, your forgiveness. I can't earn it, I can't achieve it, so I'm just going to receive it. And when you receive the gift of righteousness, you're no longer living in fear and shame and guilt. Are you with me? You see, to whom we submit ourselves, we become servants of that master. Are you with me? So if I'm listening to the wrong voice, that even though I did everything I knew I was supposed to do, I came to God through Jesus and I confessed my sins and I was broken. I was sorry. And God, I'm sorry for what I did. Would you forgive me? Well, Jesus said, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Who are you going to believe? You see, even our own hearts condemn us sometimes. But God is greater than our hearts. His grace is greater than all of our sin. And when you receive the grace of God, it changes you. You don't want to do those things anymore when you receive the true grace of God. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Why? Because you're in love with Jesus and you want to do what pleases him. You don't want to grieve him. And when you grieve him, you know it, and you simply come to him once again and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? As followers of Jesus, we are called to walk by faith in the ability of God. Faith in what God can do. Not faith in myself. You know, sometimes as Christians, we can get self-confident too, you know, because we're doing pretty good. Things are going my way. And we can get self-confident. When we start getting self-confident, we're no longer confident in Christ. And now we're starting to fall away from grace again. Why? Because grace is only received in Christ, right? We can only have victory as we abide in Christ, as we trust in Christ, as we hope in Christ. That's the only time we can have peace, amen, with God. So when we start to shift away and we start to put, you know, faith in ourselves, in our own ability, well, you know, you can do a lot of Christian things in your own ability. But it's not of God, and it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble at the end. We can do a lot of Christian activity without the Holy Spirit. We can do good things for God that are not the right things for us. They may be right for somebody else, but they may not be right for us. And the only thing that's going to last is that what we have done out of love for Him. And out of loving him means that when I hear his voice and he says, do this, I do it. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we need to put our faith in God's mighty power and not in our ability to overcome by trying harder. The Lord keeps putting this on my heart, folks, because we have got to understand this. We've got to get a hold of this. We've got to get, you know, over ourselves. We've got to get past ourselves in this thing. It's by the ability of God in us and not by my willpower. Because some people have a lot of willpower and they can wow people and do a lot of stuff and maybe convince themselves for a season that they're doing pretty good. But eventually that will fail you too. And sin will dominate you again, because the only victory you have over sin is by abiding in Christ. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the honored guest in our house. Amen. He can be in the house, but he can be ignored in the house. Are you with me? And he can't help us, folks, if we're not, you know, communing with him, if we're not connecting with him, if we're not drawing from the resources of his immeasurable grace to sustain us and to give us what we cannot do in our own, we can do through Christ. And the call of God on your life is bigger than you. It's beyond what you can do naturally. So understand that what you're called to do is always going to be bigger than you. That's your calling. It's going to be bigger than you. What God calls you to do is going to be bigger than you. And therefore, you need to draw from the grace of God so that the ability will be of him and not of you. If we're confident in ourselves, we won't draw from his grace. When we get self-confident, we no longer think it's that important to pray. Come on. It got quiet also. I got an amen over there. All right. When we get self-confident, folks, we get this thing where we don't really think it's all that important to be in fellowship. It's not that important to be engaged in what God's doing and to be, you know, in the Word and be focused, you know, on things above. Come on. We end up very quickly being whisked away by the deception of the enemy, who's just saying, hey, over here, over here. Amen. He's trying to rob from us. He's trying to isolate the sheep from the fold often, because that's when the sheep is most vulnerable. We need each other. We need to be in fellowship as much as possible. So we need to live as if we can do what we can't. Live as if you can do what you can't. Because what you're called to do is something that you can't do naturally. Therefore, it causes us to draw near to God. It causes us to hunger for his presence, to come into his throne of grace, and to receive grace and find mercy to help us. And so when we're in that place of weakness, in that I realize that in myself I don't have what it takes, you're in the best place right now, because now you're going to draw from the grace of God. Whew. Now, when we read about Paul, and there are accounts of what Paul looked like, how many, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing some of these guys when I get to heaven. I always wondered what they look like in my mind, you know. But they say that Paul was just a little guy. And he was bald, and he had bad eyesight, and so he was not like a big stature and just big commanding type A personality. However, I think he still had he's a little guy, but he had a type A personality. It seemed that way, doesn't it? When he's out breathing out threatenings and persecuting the church before he got saved. But when you think about Paul, you think about just a little guy that's kind of like, well... in the eyes of the world, he might have been despised. And isn't it interesting that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise? So often the Lord takes the things that are despised, you know, and he says, I'm going to call you and I'm going to put my power in you with all your mess and with all your quirks and with all your personality, whatever it is. And I'm going to use you for my glory, because people will say, now, isn't that the carpenter's son? How can he or she do what they do? And they realize that God must be in them in order for them to do what they're doing. Are you with me? Folks, the world needs to see the reality of God in us. They need to see Christ in us. Amen? They need to say that, wow, God is in you. How could you know that about me? How could you heal the sick like that unless God was in you? Yeah, see what we're called to do. How many know God wants you to lay hands on the sick? Amen. And it's not what we can do, so we say, God, help. God, I can't do it. Lord, I acknowledge I'm poor in spirit. I acknowledge my poverty of spirit here, God. And so I'm hungry that you might fill me with all of your goodness and your presence, Lord. Amen. So that the people will see you and not me. So much of the church has got shut down into the place of predictability. Come on, so much of the church is just doing what, well, anybody could do. You got people that are not saved that are serving in churches. You got demon-possessed people in churches. God says, cast them out. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, may God give you more and more grace. May God give you more and more grace, it says, and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. We have to first come to a knowledge of God. Amen. So that we can know who we are and who he is, who I really am, not what others have told me. My identity is not found in Hollywood. My identity is found in Christ alone. When I want to see what a perfect man looks like, I look at who? Jesus. And I see that's what I'm supposed to look like. That's how I'm supposed to walk. That's how I'm supposed to live. I want to be like him. I want to be conformed and transformed into that image, the image of Christ. And in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. In our inability is his ability. So that the power, the sufficiency will be of him and not of us. So the world will say, God is real. How many know we don't have to get into a scientific debate with evolutionists? Now, some of them, even if one raised from the dead, they're not going to believe. So don't waste your time on them, folks. But there are some folks, when they see the reality of Christ in you, because you are abiding in him, they're going to say, wow, there's something different about this person. Amen. The way that they live, they have a joy and a peace, and there's goodness, there's gentleness. There's something about them where they can forgive people that, you know, that curse. They can bless people who curse them. They could forgive others. They can see that, wow, you know, these people can pray for others and God heals them. When they see the results, the evidence of what we call faith. Because faith has substance. Faith has evidence. How many know that genuine faith has substance and evidence? It's not blind faith. Blind faith is superstition. But our faith is not a blind faith. We serve and trust and believe in the resurrected Christ. Amen? He's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. He's not in the grave. He's our commander in chief. He's our great high priest in the heavens. And he has commissioned and sent forth you and I, his church, into the highways and the byways, into all the world, amen, to manifest his fragrance in every place. He wants to reveal his glory through his bride, his church, to the world. By his divine power, verse 3, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. Folks, we got to quit trying to climb up into heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ in you. When Jesus came into my heart, oh, floods of joy that filled my soul. When Christ came to dwell within us, we worship in spirit and in truth. We don't have to climb to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. That's to bring Christ down from above. You don't have to descend into the abyss and bring him up. Why? He's not there. He's not out there in the wilderness. He said, don't run over here and run over there looking for Jesus. Don't run after, don't do this, you know, chasing after fire trucks like a lot of folks do. You need to discover who Christ is here and now in you. Isn't it true? You need to come to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Know his voice, know his presence, know his leading in your life, and step out in faith and watch what God will do. You will be able to do what you can't do when you trust in him, because then it will manifest the glory and the power of God to a world that's often unbelieving. Amen. And when they saw the miracles of Jesus, many believed. Amen. You are a supernatural person today. In Christ. If we don't believe that, then we won't live that. Because you will live what you believe. What we really believe ourselves is what's really going to be manifested in our lives. Are you with me? If we're doubtful, unbelieving, that's what's going to come out. If I don't believe I'm anything, I'm just a nothing. You know what? That's not scriptural. People say, well, I'm just nothing. What? Jesus went to the cross for you. What do you mean you're nothing? You're something. Amen. You're precious to God. And who you are, your personality, the talents, the abilities, who you are is precious to God. That's why you don't have to try to be anybody else or want to be somebody else. Oh, you can just be who you are and be a gift to the world as Christ works through your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, even too many young people and Christians are chasing after this and wanting this identity. And I want to be like Britney Spears. That's old hat now, I think. But they're chasing after these personalities and these stars. And, oh, I wish I could be like, hey, have you forgotten that you are made in the image of God? That you are a precious child, amen, of his? And if you try to be somebody you're not, you're never going to be who you are. And you know what, folks? If we don't know who we are, then nobody else is either. Think about it. If you don't know who you are, then nobody else is going to know who you are either. Come on, have you ever been around people who they just don't know who they are and you really don't know who they are either? I mean, as believers, our eyes have been opened. We understand that, you know, they are someone precious to the Lord. But folks, people who don't know who they are, they wander. They bounce around. They're just kind of looking for, well, maybe I fit in with this group, or maybe I fit in with that crowd over there, or maybe I'll dress like this and wear my hair like this, and then I'll fit in. I'll be one of these people, and well, that's not me either. Get over all that stuff. Amen. You don't have to be anybody else but you. And God likes you the way you are because he made you that way. With all your quirks too, you know. That's a result of sin. But God is doing something wonderful through us, even with our quirks. How many know that Paul had a few quirks too? But look what God did through Paul's life. You know what? God is looking at the heart. He's looking at those whose hearts are after him. Who are making themselves available. Just look at Jacob's life. It doesn't justify bad behavior, but God looks at the heart. And he judges according to the heart. So, once again, how many realize that your assignment in life is bigger than you are? How many can say today that, you know, that excites me actually? That I don't have to stop and be gelled in a marred state. That God's not done with me. God's still working on me. God's still making something beautiful. Amen? On the inside of this shell we call a body or an earth suit, God's making something beautiful. He's preparing us for eternity. Amen. And he's given us an assignment to make him known. And I'm going to read one more scripture and then part two will be tonight. It's a cliffhanger, someone said. Listen to the words of Paul to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in strength, weakness, timid and trembling in the New Living Translation. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to say it again. He said, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. We got to get back to that. Come on. There's too much going on in the pulpit today where we're just sounding off these lofty words and these well, you know, put together sermons that people are going, huh? What did he just say? How many know that God speaks our language? I'm telling you, folks, we need to be like Jesus. Jesus spoke the language of the people. He connected with them where they were at. Hello? He kept it simple so they could understand what he was saying. He used illustrations from nature. Because if they don't get the message, it's not doing them any good. You may have wowed a few people, and you may have wowed a few intellectuals. Like, what was wonderful. Your oratorical skills are... Question is God speaking? And did they understand? Oh, Jesus. You know, so many times the Lord he gives me downloads and he tells me, repeat this, repeat it, and repeat it. You know, sometimes, folks, we need to repeat things. Amen. And repeat them until faith rises, until you begin to understand in your heart and you get it. Faith comes by hearing. And so that's what God is doing. He's building a foundation here. Amen? So that we're going to stay in the right position as we grow. And through weakness and humility, and in our inability will be his ability. And understanding our identity. Understanding that our call is bigger than us, but God is stretching us into that as we continue to follow him. So, did you enjoy this morning? Yeah. Good, good, good. Hallelujah. I did too. Well, it's not over because it's a walk in the Spirit, right? So as we go today, you know, you're carrying his presence. The Lord is with you. And would you stand tonight, or this morning? Tonight or... Hope you can come tonight, by the way. Father God, thank you so much. Do you just love the Lord today? And you thank Him that He saved you. Hallelujah. Thank Him that you are His child. Thank Him for His grace that is amazing and available, free, without charge. With confidence we approach the throne by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everything we need is there at the throne, is there at His feet. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Made available free, all that we need. He's our all-sufficient one, El Shaddai. Oh, Lord God, we love You so much and we thank You.